this is where your intuition is really key in not only finding a guest, but finding your voice. And how do you promote the show? How do you increase more listeners? And your intuition is all integrated in making those decisions so that you have a successful podcast.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with the podcast on podcasting. And today, on this episode, I've got Sunil Godsey. How are you, Sunil?
I'm doing amazing. Thanks for having me, Adam. I'm looking forward to dropping some knowledge bombs on this intangible thing that we're talking about called gut or intuition and how it actually leads you to make the right decision every single time.
Excellent. And so this will be on the podcast on podcasting, and we're going to be talking about podcasting. We're going to be helping you. And Sunil has a podcast as well, and his podcast is called Intuitionology. Currently, there might be a rebrand, so watch out for it just in case. We've got a link in the show notes. If you want to just scroll down, he has a 7-day challenge about taking action. This episode, the big takeaway is about taking action. And additionally, I know that we're going to have some really cool, interesting stories that have come from his podcast. So if you want to start a podcast too and have good stories like this, then you should. And this is Adam Adams, owner of Grow Your Show, growyourshow.com. So if you want to start your podcast, grow your podcast, and monetize your podcast, go to growyourshow.com and let's have a chat. All right, Sunil. So in the pre-interview, as we were chatting, getting ready for this, you started dropping some cool stories on just people that you've had on your podcast.
Yeah.
A lot of them inspiring, just to let the listener know a bit about you. After making a series of bad decisions, with one leading to a friend being actually shot and killed, Sunil Godsey, this person right here in front of me, he spent thousands of hours on researching and interviewing, trying to stop people from wasting time and making bad decisions and helping them to be able to sharpen their intuition. So on his podcast, he actually has conversations with people that have had that epiphany, that have had that mindset shift change. That can't be right how I said that. It was so awkward. It has to be wrong. Sunil, so tell us a few stories of people have had on that podcast. I'm excited to ask questions about it. And then I want to jump into learning how to better take action, get some actionable takeaways. And that 7-day challenge that you have is awesome. It's free. And the link's in the show notes. It's a bit long, so just go to the show notes. That's where you'll be able to find it. And click, and you'll be able to jump in. So Sunil, give us a few, I guess, what's the word for it? Stories,
yeah,
interesting people that you've had on the podcast, what you've learned, and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this ended up being the first podcast guest, but I think the representation of his story is, I think, how we think about intuition. You get this thing, I trust my gut, I trust my intuition, on social media, and people kind of throw around, you know, I hear that little voice. And so these are kind of great overarching themes of trusting what intuition is. But I've actually taken over 10,000 hours to dive deep into the science of it and things called signals. And we have positive and negative signals. And so for those, and I'll explain about the 7-day challenge, because there's a specific process that you need to go through to really tap into your intuition outside of just talking about this voice. And so when I met this fellow, Hal Eisenberg, he was in sort of that mindset space. So again, somebody talking about mindset, living positively, I trust my gut. And then I'm talking about intuition. And so there was this natural sort of congruence of us really liking each other's work. And then he saw me speak about 6 months later. He's from New York, and he flew up to Toronto to see me speak. And he said, wow, I didn't realize that intuition has signals. And I didn't realize that there's 4 types of intuition. And oh my God, and like there's hurdles. He just never knew that intuition was that complex. And then he ended up getting an intuitive signal about a year after he had seen me speak. He recognizes that as an intuitive signal. And as intuitive signals start, they start very low as a whisper. And we start to say, that's fine. You know, he develops a cough. That cough ends up continuing. And he gets stronger signals to go to the hospital. He ignores them. And finally, somebody has to take him to emerge because he got COVID-19. And this guy was now fighting for his breath. And he actually wanted to die. There was an intuitive moment, as I call it, or an intuitive wake-up call. We were talking earlier about the rebrand. and he actually wanted to die. And his intuition, his intuitive signal was so clear to him that was telling him, your voice is not, you're not ready to go. You're doing some great work. He was working with students in the New York school system. He's affected over 100,000 kids in bringing sort of mindfulness into New York school system, doing amazing work for the past 20 years. Your voice needs to be heard. And so he all of a sudden then knew that he needed to live. And he got out of that. And 5 days later, I'm the first person he talks to at length. And he even says that in the podcast interview, it's important for me to be very honest with what I went through. And we talked about the signals. And what he realized was that in his past, he would talk about trusting his intuition, but he wouldn't act on it. He would make a decision thinking, yeah, I want to live my life like this, but he wouldn't take those steps. Or he'd conceptually do it, but wouldn't take action. And I just think that that's a very good representation of kind of how we think about this thing called intuition, when there's a lot more science to it. There's a lot more depth to it. And so other people I've reached out to that have said absolutely yes. And I think the reason why, for anybody who has a podcast show, I think there's got to be a very interesting angle that you want to have. Like, what's your unique niche and what's your unique angle that you're bringing that somebody is really compelled to talk about, or they've got something that's really compelling that's going to help your listeners really kind of get something different. And so my ability to get a lot of the guests are because when I talk about their intuition, everybody has a story. Everybody's lives have been saved by it, or they've come through in a cathartic event where intuition was attributed to them overcoming that event or getting into trouble. And so I've been able to attract people like Nelson Mandela's grandson, Forbes Riley, Carl Wolf, Danette May, and the list can go on. Philip McKernan's huge into, like, there's these big, big names with some good followers on social media or really good backing. And when I reach out to them, most of them are all saying, absolutely, I'll talk about it for sure. And so if you listen to any of my podcast episodes, I start with their definition of intuition, what their signals are. And then we start getting into some of the stories of where intuition played a role. And, you know, some of the stories I've had is had Geraint Jones, who is homeless, and he was approached by another homeless guy. And that other homeless guy asks him for money. And Geraint tells him, you probably have more money than I do. And that homeless guy looks at Geraint and says, change your mindset, change your life. And that one sentence ended up him becoming a multimillionaire now, speaking to people about how he used that as motivation to even start doing YouTube videos while he was homeless or in his car or living in a storage space. But people gravitated to the type of content that was very inspirational while he was still homeless. And eventually he ended up now, he used to speak on stages around the world. And of course, with COVID, that's been paired back to people like have Vin Jang. He's very, very popular. 2016, he's at the pinnacle of his career, you know, speaking to 100,000 people a year on 80 stages, but he felt like crap inside. And so he goes away and basically writes up the values on his wall, thinking that these are his values. He's looking at these pieces of paper and thing intuitively saying, well, this is what my wife wants. This is what society wants. This is what friends want. This is what my family, where am I? Right. And what intuition helps you do is it helps you reinforce those values that you should be living by any area of your life. And so basically does the exercise again. He thinks he's ready. He comes off. And this is where concept and action or concept and reality is that he was not able to act on or change his life to really act on those values. And so he slipped back into the old way of doing things, having a high-rise apartment in LA, driving a fancy car, hobnobbing with the hobnobbers, and he loses himself. And 6 months later, his parents come up and his mom says, he's got a Vietnamese background. And he says, his mom says, there's this saying in Vietnamese that if you hang around squid, you're going to get some ink on you. And his mother says, you're hanging around a lot of squid. You're not my boy. And that triggered him to go through that same exercise again. And then finally move out to the suburbs, get rid of the car, spend more time with the family, do things he wanted to do, not for other people thought he should do or what his manager thought he should do to bring more money. He just completely changed. And so that was 6 months of his life gone. And I have this thing called opportunity cost, where it's not just the 6 months that he's lost. It's also the 6 months that he could have gained in doing things the right way. So he's actually lost a full year. And so in my podcast interview with him, I tell him that. I said, you've actually lost a full year. And since you're in the business of helping people, how many people did you leave behind? How many people did you not help? And he just said, I've never thought about it that way. And so these are the type of deep conversations I have. I never met Jang Vin. And so I think he's podcast episode number 4, but these are the types of conversations I've had with people, reveal things that they've never. I've had a professional boxer who lost at the time I interviewed him. He lost 3 matches and he finally revealed to the public through me that he actually lost them because of his ego. So of course he's going to, no, it's TKO, the judges are blah, blah, blah. But it was his ego. And he was saying in his first match, when he was training, he was peeing blood and he should have quit. The second match, his testosterone levels were way off the roof. He should have backed away, but his ego got the better of him and he fought and he lost because of that ego. Yet his intuition was telling him you should not be fighting. And he's a professional boxer. That's actually equals money that he's lost, opportunities that he's lost. So you can take this thing that's intangible in nature, and there's tangible benefits to this in terms of money, opportunities, and things like that. So people think it's kind of woo-woo, but we all have these signals, and we have to spend more time diving into what these signals are so that you understand that. One of the interviewees I had was, he was an investment banker. And the thing with intuition, it hits the amygdala, which is the primitive part of our brain. And because of that, there's no language around it. So we all define it in our own way. So when I was originally doing my research on intuition, it was very sort of, you know, voices from God and manifestation. That didn't resonate with me. I couldn't find a definition. And so when I interviewed this investment banker, he didn't think it existed. Yet when it hits the amygdala, which has no capacity for language, we all kind of put our own language around it. And so, and then when we trust it and we define it and we understand it through our own experiences, our own signals, then we kind of get it. And eventually, John Rothschild, he was the interviewee, he didn't believe in it. But through the next hour, me getting to him to recount his stories and what his possible signals are, he went from this thing does not exist to halfway saying, perhaps intuition led me here, to finally make a decision to leave a $3 to $4 million a year investment banking career to run a tiny bankrupt little restaurant. And he looks at his wife and he says, this just feels right. There's your intuitive signal from an investment banker. That particular decision he made to run, remember, $3 to $4 million a year, high-end restaurants, limousines, private jets, to rolling up his sleeves and working in the kitchen in this tiny bankrupt little restaurant. That restaurant was Eastside Mario's location number 1. And that ended up being over 1,000 locations. And in 20 years, he drew that to $2 billion under different brand names, all because it felt right. And so when it comes to podcasting or looking at the show, and there's some marketing involved, what are some of the opportunities that you're doing? Who are the people that you're going to trust? Like, you know, the advice that you give, you know, people are, intuition is a two-way street. So as much as your intuition is looking outward, my intuition is going to look to you to say, do I trust the advice that you're giving? Do I trust that other person who is a marketer that's telling me I've got to do digital marketing or have a social media play? Do I trust that person? Is there genuineness and your intuition helps you do this? Or is it just a fancy marketing ad that draws you in and then you see something that's off and hopefully you don't spend money going down the rabbit hole with that people, with that person or that business? And so this is where your intuition is really key in not only finding a guest, but finding your voice. And how do you promote the show? And how do you get out? How do you increase more listeners? And your intuition is all integrated in making those decisions so that you have a successful podcast.
Lot to unfold there, Sunil. Lot to unfold.
Yeah.
Here's where I want to take this. You've had a lot of people on the show, yep, and they all have remarkable stories, which is really cool. It sounds like a podcast that I'd enjoy myself. And so share with the listener, first off, just what is the podcast called so they can find it wherever they find this podcast right now?
Absolutely. So it's called the Intuitionology Podcast Series. There may be a bit of a rebrand later where at some point we may talk about calling it the Intuitive Wake-Up Call, because every one of these stories has a wake-up call in it. But right now it's called the Intuitional Podcast Series. It's all on any of the ones that you're on, Apple, Spotify, Deezer, et cetera, et cetera. And yes, getting traction like crazy when people find out about the deep conversations they have, finding that more and more people are really, really loving this type of conversation. And if the excitement of my guests are any indication of them saying, oh yeah, this is a podcast I want to come on, I can track the numbers saying, yeah, I'm seeing some growth. And it's also encouraged my 14-year-old daughter to start a podcast series of her own. She's actually runs an official nonprofit business on intuition. She started that out in 2012. She got inspired by an event. She's an artist. So for those watching, you can see the paintings behind me. Those are her paintings. And she's raised over $30,000 in a year, selling those to raise money for disabilities and illnesses. And she has her own podcast series. And in some cases, there's times where she beats me in downloads because, well, she's 14. People say she's cuter. And she has a purpose that people are really gravitating towards, which really, and she's using very little social media because that purpose is driving and attracting people. And again, it's down to intuition. People's intuition are saying, I want to support somebody like her, and I'm going to continue to do that. And so she, her numbers are starting to go up, and that increases the amount of money she raises, the amount of money she gets donated, et cetera, the amount of money people buy for her stuff. So she's seeing, again, something tangible happen from something intangible. And again, it's another podcast series, right? So what can happen?
Intuitionology. And let's ask this question. So there's a couple of listeners that don't have their podcast yet.
Yep.
They want to start one. They're thinking about starting one. So give us a little bit of framework on how they can pinpoint whether or not they should be starting a podcast using intuitionology.
Absolutely. And so the main thing is, what's the intention? And so if the intention, because it can just be a hobby and it can be just for fun. If the intention is because everybody's talking about, you got to have a podcast, good for marketing, you got to be intentionally there to do it, because it's a lot of work behind the scenes in terms of getting the guests, paying for things like Zoom, possibly getting a provider, the editing. You know, if you don't have a team and your budget's small, there's a lot of stuff that happens on the back end. That's one of the reasons why the majority of the podcasts don't go past podcast number 20. Is, I think, the stats, and it's getting worse and worse. So although there's a lot of podcasts out there, from what I hear from the stats, number 20, number 12 and podcast number 20 keep coming up as the drop-off points, because it's just simply too much work. And so really figure out why you want to do it. And then if you do want to do it and it's going to support your business or your personal life, whatever it is, what's the unique angle? Because people are going to gravitate to, like, if you're in digital marketing, for example, and it's a crowded space, what is it about your particular perspective of digital marketing is different? So do you have a unique formula to digital marketing? Do you have some client testimonials that they've won because of your advice? So that when people are coming on, you know, I can listen to your podcast, or I can listen to Social Media Marketing World, or I can listen to, you know, somebody else who has been a social media guest and they have a podcast series and I really liked her story or his story. So I'd listen. So how do you cut through the noise? And a lot of that has to, I've been on now, I've been in the last six, 8 weeks, I've been on a tear. I think my marketing team has me on 83 podcasts so far. I checked yesterday. Yours is number 84. I had 83 this morning. And
I want to be number one, Sunil.
You want to be that would have been, that
was, how do I do that?
So number one, so there will be a second podcast coming up because, because I'm looking at the business side. And so we're rebranding my business to something called Intuitive Branding. And so what I'm talking about right now is about intuitive branding. So what intuitive branding is people get attracted to you because of their intuition. I like you. I trust you. The like trust factor is something it's always talked about, but that like and trust is the amygdala. That's intuition. That's where it hits you. So you have to track the intuition of others to say that they're intrigued by you, but they want to take that deeper. Intrigue is great for seeing a social media theme, but what are you offering that's going to give me to trade my time for you listening to you? And so there are podcasts I listen to, and frankly, you know, I'll get in because somebody suggests a podcast and say, wow, this is pretty boring. I'm not getting anything. I'm just being honest. Like, I just, you know, or you're selling something. I found one where half the time that person is selling, I don't want to say gender here, but that person's services. And then the other half of the time, and sometimes a quarter time, is coaching the other person. And I can tell the other person's uncomfortable because they're coming on as a guest. So you got to be very, very careful about what that podcast is about and be respectful of your guests and stuff like that, because I've seen this happen and I can hear it in the voice of the others. And so when you turn me off, then you've lost me, and then you've lost me recommending it to others, because clearly other people are going to be asking me what I listen to. Sometimes I may put something up on social media if I feel compelled to do that. So there's another opportunity to get other people to talk about what you're doing and share with others. And that's how your listenership grows. You have to get over that initial hump of friends and family, because that's great that they have that. But then there's that, got the initial hump, and then it goes back to, okay, who doesn't know you that's compelled to come? That's where the real work comes in. And you have to try and reach those kind of people. So for me, I'm now, I think, in 23 countries. Surprisingly, I'm not, maybe not so surprisingly, I've got US and Canada as close, and then India, because of my cousins listening to it. And then I interviewed one person. I did an IG live with her that got 12,000 views. Somebody who's my cousin, who's an actress, She has something like 130,000 Instagram followers. Her interview is coming up. She has some really good engagement. So she puts a post up and there's usually 3,000 to 4,000 people liking her stuff. Not that numbers should be something as what you should go for, because that's more dopamine hit. But certainly that's an indication of the impact she has, then by her, you know, showing my clip, I'm hoping a percentage of those people will come and stay and listen to my podcast. They may come and listen to her stuff, but then that's it, right? And so you need that sticking power. So that's really how kind of intuition really helps you find that, again, intuitive branding. What are you unique about? And then when you do that and they like you, the others become a brand for you. And so they become brand evangelists for you because they're talking about your podcast, or you've shared a unique angle that maybe that's helped something in their business. And then they're going to start recommending you to others. And there you start, you know, that's how you start expanding your listenership or your viewership if you have a channel. And it's a long grind. It's, you know, the average is 2 years. If you look at business success rate, 91% of businesses fail in the first 2 years. By year five, 99%. Another statistic I heard yesterday was only 4% people actually kind of make it as quote entrepreneurs. And if you see podcasting as an entrepreneurial opportunity, which I do, I think it's a business unto itself, not necessarily in a monetary sense, but what you have to do to make it fly, to make it successful. Only 4% of people in the world are entrepreneurs. So you have to be part of that 4%. And it's all that means is that you just have to do things right, because all the other 96% of people aren't listening to their intuition and doing it the right way. And so you can absolutely be a podcaster. And those would be the reasons why I think, in my opinion, that's where the success lies.
Sunil, what is the best part and the worst part about podcasting? In your experience over the last, how long have you had this? It's been since
June of 2020. Yeah. But the interviews have started probably about 3 to 4 years ago.
Okay. Got it. Wow. That's interesting. So from the last 3 to 4 years or the last year or so, what's the best part of podcasting so far that everybody needs to know? What's the worst part of podcasting so far that everybody needs to know?
Yeah, the best part for me is absolutely having those super deep conversations with guests, and even more so, some things that are absolutely surprising that come out of nowhere that I had, like, just sort of jaw drop moments. And I'll give you an example. There was one person, we were talking about real estate, intuition in real estate, and you've got an apartment investing show. But we talked about, you know, what it has to do with customers and how they train people, and not necessarily in real estate, but also insurance and things like that. And so how they grew their business. And what we ended up finding out was that he actually had a drug problem. And when he was 18, he was in drugs and he was in a car and his friend got shot at and ignored their intuition to get into that situation. It was totally unrelated to the story that I thought we were talking about when I was doing research on him. And so those are the things that I absolutely love that just come out of nowhere. I've even had someone from Bosnian war survivor and interviewing her. And I was interviewing her for, it was on sexual harassment in the workplace. So that was the interview. And then I said, she goes, oh, what else do you interview for? And I said, talk about interview for intuition. Would you want to talk about that? I had no clue what her background was on that. She goes, sure. And so I said, when was there a time when intuition had basically, you know, it was played an important role in your life? She goes, well, she was in the war. And she was, I think, 5 or 6, as she was saying. And so she had her grandmother sitting on a chair and she got this feeling that she's move, run now, move. And her grandmother says, hey, listen, we're relaxing. What's going on? And she started to cry. That feeling got louder and louder. And then her grandmother finds, okay, let's move. And 15 steps later, a bomb went off outside the window that right beside that chair. And she was saying, had we listened to that feeling, I would not be sitting here in front of you to tell you this story. We'd all be dead. So those are like, oh my God, I never even knew that. And so those for me, amazing moments for podcasting. The drawback was I really struggled with, because I have over 1,000 people I've interviewed, I'm actually booking till 2022 for guests. And so I've got a couple of open spots because I've got some influencers that are possibly coming on the radar and saying yes. And so I've kept a couple of spots here and there for influencers that are now becoming possible guests. But really, do I go with once a week? Do I go 3 times a week? If I go 3 times a week, is that too much? And again, I'm lucky I have a team. So I pass a lot of that stuff off, but there's the editing, because I have a video, there's the color correction, audio levels, you know, putting the intro, the outro, you know, so there's that. And so that was because I've got a good technical background. that's kind of worked for me. But that's where I think I find a lot of podcasters really fall back on, is because they don't realize how much work behind the scenes happens. And right now I've got 2 times a week, which is great, but now we've got this, the business one. And I was just talking with my team about this yesterday. If we go 3 times a week, how do we do this from a branding perspective, from a marketing perspective? So what we may do is do Intuitionology on the Mondays and Fridays. So we still maintain that twice a week, because I've got so many that I want, and I'm so excited getting those stories out. And the middle one, the Wednesday, would be more on the intuitive branding side, which we're just going through right now. So, but again, everybody's going to have what's different for them, right? What are their pain spots? What areas do they not have expertise in? What do they not like to do, right? Some people like the creative aspect, but they don't like the mundane aspects of doing these things. Other people love the mundane aspects, but they don't like the creative aspects. So we have to be careful, because remember, everybody's an individual. Everybody's skill sets are different. Everybody's reasons for doing is different. But overall, I think it's just having amazing conversations with people is what I really love. And I get to couch it in what I love, which is teaching about intuition. And so for you, it might be teaching about apartment investing. I think that's really interesting. That would be something I would, you know, if I'm getting into real estate, and that's something I would love to get into, your show would be one I would think about, because how do you invest in apartments? Of course, I want to listen to some experts to figure out how to overcome the mistakes so I don't repeat them. Right? It's very much like my first book, Fail Fast, Succeed Faster, right? If you learn from the lessons of others, of the failures, you should be able to succeed faster if you don't repeat them.
Sunil, so the best part is obviously the conversations. I love the conversations as well. It sounds like you have over 1,000 conversations recorded. I want to dive into that just for a moment. I want to have a little bit of a conversation with you, some strategy thoughts that anybody who heard that hopefully can take in. And if you don't mind, I want to share a gas station example for you now. There's a lot of gas stations. When you have one gas station on the corner, they might not be doing so well. And I've got a lot of friends who own hundreds of gas stations and have been doing that and apartment investing. You mentioned my other show, that and apartment investing. And this seems to ring true over and over and over and over. So you go to a corner and it has one gas station. The probabilities are that one gas station on one corner is barely scraping by. The owner might be making netting $30,000 for the year, and it's a lot of work. But what's the weirdest thing, and this is going to tie into your one episode a week, 2 episodes a week thought that you kind of had a question that you almost proposed. But when another gas station, interestingly enough, moves in on the other corner, I don't know how this happens or why this happens exactly, but for some reason, both of them do better. So instead of them both netting $15,000 a year, instead of $30,000 a year, because they're, quote, splitting the profits, somehow they both do better and they're both netting $100,000 a year. But then when you put a third one on there, it gets even better. It pulls more people to that corner to go to those four places. And it's just so weird, because the idea of competition kind of goes out the window. And exponentially higher when you have four gas stations on all four of the corners. And so I think it's interesting. And I've noticed this same pattern in the same pattern working with these gas stations, working with your podcast episodes. Interestingly enough, a lot of people who have one episode a week, they might be seeing 100 downloads per episode. And some people that have 2 episodes a week, instead of having less or just 100 and 100, it starts to exponentially get higher. So it might be 300 or 600 downloads per one episode. And when they add that third one, it goes even higher. And I have a friend, you mentioned my other show, Apartment Investing Show. I have a friend that came on that show. His name's Joe Fairless. Joe Fairless is another apartment investor. And I was speaking at his conference. So we were sharing the stage this one day, and I was backstage getting ready to go up, and he was speaking. I was peeking through looking at the audience, and I saw a lady raise her hand, and the lady raised her hand and said, and almost had a smug look on her face. Really? She like, I've got you, Joe. That's what I saw in her face. And she just said, hey, Joe, I should have said this in the beginning. He has a daily podcast, a 7 days a week podcast. And she said, if you had to do it all over again, would you still do a daily podcasts, doing one every single day. And actually, Joe said no, but he paused. And so I started being like, what's he going to say? He said no, but what's the answer going to be? And when he came back, he said, I'd probably do a twice daily podcast. And the whole audience was like, oh, she got shut down. She thought he was probably going to switch to like a once a week. But what Joe said was that same type of gas station example that I mentioned before. The more content that you push out into the world, the more listeners that you have. So I think these days he's pushing somewhere around 300,000 downloads per month. And a lot of people, and he's only been doing it for a handful of years, but a lot of people that I know that have also been doing it for 5-6 years, and they're putting out one episode a week, they're only having 5,000 downloads per month. And so it's exponentially has gotten bigger for Joe Fairless by putting out more episodes than he could. So one thought that I have as a podcasting coach, as somebody who helps support other people, I hope that you take those 1,000 episodes that you have in the can, and instead of slowly putting them out over the next 10 years, do yourself a huge favor and publish those things 7 days a week, or publish those things 2 episodes a day, like Joe Fairless, and really take that gas station example, exponentially grow your audience to a level that is unheard of, I'm sure. So anyway, I wanted to unravel that because it's going to be sad. You've already got 1,000 episodes recorded. And in 10 years from now, I'm going to be hearing just episodes from, you know, the 2020s. But anyway, huge suggestion. I think it'll blow your socks off. It'll increase your listener base. And I think you'll feel good about putting out that content. So wanted to take a tangent on the gas station example with you just for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Great suggestion. And I think this is just this is something that I have had a discussion with the team. So part of it is building the team out and doing that. And the other thing is also with all those that I've got, I've also got repurposing of content, like tons of these into the wake up call moments that I can now compartmentalize into sort of Darman style or Goldcast style videos, where it's just a 3 to 4 minute clip, put some B stock or, you know, some stock video captions and music and throw those out. And so now I've got a sort of multi-pronged digital marketing strategy that can support not only just the Intuition Energy brand, but it can also support the podcast channel and then ramp it up to 7 days. I'd love to do that. You know, just got to build out the team to do that for sure, but appreciate the suggestion.
Awesome. So I've got 2 more questions for you.
You bet.
The first question is, you talked about the best part. You talked about the worst part. What is the biggest challenge that you've had, but you have overcome? It's something that you might not have expected to go get into as starting a podcast that the listener is going to be able to take away and not make the same mistake.
Yeah. And so the biggest challenge for me, and this comes hand in hand with having too many in the pot, is if I have someone that's interested and I'll reach out to them and say, oh, wow, this is an amazing story. And then I get the interview. The next challenge for me is, okay, when do I slot him or her? And if it's an influencer, like now I've learned to put some spots open, but you know, I'm saying, yeah, hopefully by next month I can have this. And I look at the schedule my marketing team puts in, it's like, I'm looking at July or August. And I really struggle with that. You know, so for me, that was a challenge. Perhaps it's a good challenge, but I ran too fast, possibly. Right. And so if I increase, of course, the number per day, obviously that's less of an issue. But that was the challenge I experienced moving. Otherwise, yeah, everything else so far. And again, the team, who do you have on the team that hired that I'm not going to pay, you know, oodles, ugly amounts of money for to do the editing? And what I do is I have a very specific way of putting the videogram at the start by capturing that story using the appropriate stock footage, the right captions and the right music to capture what I want. And I had to train someone for probably about 2 to 3 months to get him to that specific time. Now that I can let him go and he knows exactly what story to tell, how to story, what music I want with it, and how I want to capture the attention of someone even before they dive into my podcast. So there's that time frame that I had to allocate that took away from other things. So again, that was a bit of a challenge, but a good challenge because now I can let him train someone else if I have to bring someone on board because he understands what I really want from that particular process.
Awesome. I'm glad you shared that. The last question that I want to ask you is the 7-day challenge that you have. It's free.
Yes.
And I just want to ask, why would we want to take that 7-day challenge? What would we get from it? What would it do for us? What would we learn about ourselves? Why would we want to take the free 7-day challenge?
Yeah. So the way that intuition works outside of us talking about this voice or this gut feeling is there's a very, very specific process that has to happen when you're looking at using the components of your intuition. And I'll go through them very, very briefly here. The first thing is you pick one problem and you try look at a problem that you haven't, because you don't want to spend too many, a whole bunch. Let's just look at one that didn't work. When you looked at the things that didn't work, there are things called negative intuitive signals that would have told you you shouldn't have made that decision. And what happened is you ignored those signals. So we need to get an inventory of negative signals first. This is very, very important. And so once you have taken an inventory of things that didn't work and what it felt like in that moment, the next step for you is to find a place where you can really kind of cut out the noise to think clearly about the positive signals. So how are you going to solve them? And a positive signal is almost like a feeling of flow or the dots connecting. It just feels right that those are the right steps to take. If you try and force a step in there, that's the wrong one. Because you've done the work on the negative signals, it's going to come up and say, Sunil, I'm telling you, that's not something you should put in there. So now you're trying to force or emotionally put in a step that shouldn't be there. So then eventually what you're left with are steps that you're going to solve the problem based on your intuition, your positive intuition. Then after that, it looks at who you're going to need to solve that problem. Is it your best friend? Is it a mentor? Is it somebody completely unrelated that has that experience? But you have to be careful not to emotionally bring in your best friend because this is a cool thing to do. Your intuition is going to say, Sunil, that's your best friend. He or she has nothing to do with the problem you're solving. So once again, because you've done the work on your positive and negative signals, you already know that the person you're involving is the right one or the people that you need to involve. And then from there, what kind of, where do you need to change in terms of your environment? And then finally taking action. And in that 7-day challenge, which I've had close to 55,000 people through, I measure your intuitive strength at the start and the end on a percentage basis. And 100% of the time of the close to 55,000 people through there, they've all had their intuition strengthened just by solving that one problem. And now you have a PDF template that's fillable online or you can download for any problem that you want after that. Just use that for another problem. And to help you along, I've got two case studies of people who go through each of the tasks in case you need somebody to go through the decisions that they made. One of them is John Harris, who actually sold his house using the 7-day challenge. When he started day one, he almost fell prey to a real estate agent that threw her card in his face and said, you're only going to get $20,000 under asking price. And before the challenge, he would have said, yeah. He would have gotten scared. I'm going to sign now. But his intuition is saying something's wrong with her. 7 days later, he actually had a bidding war on his house and sold it for $50,000 over asking price. That's a $70,000 decision. That's $10,000 a day. The other person is Ashley Michelle. She was actually witness to a homicide. Not only was she a witness to the homicide, she walked into the apartment of her boyfriend who had just murdered a friend of theirs in the bathtub. He closes the door behind her, locks it, puts a knife to her back and says, I'm already going away for murder for one. Might as well make it two. Her intuition gets him to calm down. She remains calm. He chokes her. He assaults her, breaks a few blood vessels in her neck, asks her to clean up the blood. And then there's an intuitive moment that she gets. Her intuition is saying, run now. And she runs, unlocks the door, runs 18 flights of stairs. And she lives, obviously, to tell me the story. But what she used the 7-day challenge for was that she suffered from PTSD, depression, anxiety. It didn't solve that for her. It really minimized it so that what she learned was that she can go to the gym and that was her solace. That's where she can calm her nerves down. She's very, very jittery, didn't trust anybody. She also learned how to trust people. And she continues to work on herself with me through coaching and things like that. And that 7-day challenge really kind of saved her life because it's given her a window into not having, you know, 10 locks on her door, but having two, trusting people. You know, as soon as she stands at her apartment, like looking at who's going to come after me to really just live. And so if those two type of people can go through the 7-day challenge to solve those type of problems, you can solve whatever problem you can by using it.
Good stuff. So we'll learn how to pick one problem. I like that a lot because there's a lot of us ADD people in general. I think a lot of us are just trying to do too much at once. And I always say, if you half-ass more than one thing, you're going to fail. So I want you to whole ass one thing. I want you to go all the way in. And so I love it. Just pick one problem, focus. And it helps you to be able to know what it feels like to have negative intuition. And then it helps you identify positive intuition. Yep. It helps you figure out the steps. And then I like the other three takeaways. It helps you identify the who. I was just reading the book, Who Not How, which is kind of interesting that you say that. But it helps you identify the who is going to be helping you, allows you to change the environment to make it happen, and then empowers you to take action. So that's the free 7-day challenge, and it's in the show notes as well. Sunil, any parting words for the listener who's a brand new podcaster themselves, or that maybe they've had one for a little bit and they need to know what to do to take it to the next level? What would you say to the listener?
Yeah. So when you get the advice and the education from people like yourself, and we've got who've obviously been successful in growing their podcast, the next thing is you need to take action. Absolutely have to take action and put it into place. Don't fear, because one of the biggest hurdles to trusting intuition is fear, the fear of change, fear of failure, fear of the unknown. And the best story that I can give you when you're feeling fear, even though you know that's the right thing to go, right thing to do for your podcast show. And remember, intuition is never wrong. It's going to either tell you you're making the right decision or the wrong decision. And it's the first thing it hits your brain from a scientific perspective. There's a fellow by the name of David Dame who had cerebral palsy. So he's been in a wheelchair all his life. And his dream, and we can make an analogy to even launching a podcast, was to even just to stand on a beach and feel the toes and water in his toe in the sand. And he got that opportunity a couple of years ago. His handlers wheeled him up to the edge of the sand water barrier, lift him up, and he falls flat on his face. And he's got embarrassment, and the fear really overcame him. And he told me, Sunil, I have two things I can do at this moment. The first is I can succumb to that fear, even though my intuition is saying, launch that podcast, go in this direction. I sit back in that wheelchair and forever regret that dream of turning into a reality, even though I'm right here. Or I can trust my intuitive signals that are saying, launch that podcast, that's saying, do this, do that, and take one step in that direction, and take another step, and take another step. And he gets to about, he's pointing to his chin. The water gets up to his chin level. And that's when he turns around. And he just realized he had come so far. And that's what happens when you take those decisions that you trust your intuition to do exactly what you're meant to do with the signals that intuition is telling you, you're meant to do this. So do it. Take action.
Sunil, thank you for jumping on the show and talking a little bit about your podcast, your story, and how you're inspiring the world through the influence that you're building yourself.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on. I'm going to let you go, my friend, but I know we'll be talking again. Thank you. By the way, one way to ensure that you don't miss out on great content that we're producing on a regular basis is to make sure you're subscribed to the show. You need to be subscribed or following the Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to it in order not to miss all of that. And before I let you go, I need to mention, because a lot of people are asking, do you help? Can you help me with this? And the answer is yes. My company actually does it. It's called Grow Your Show. And you can find that at growyourshow.com. Our clients, they call us the easy button for podcasters because they simply have to record their episode. And they know that every single thing else is done for them. We sweat the hard stuff so you can be the star of your show. And if you would like help to make sure that we're editing and publishing and promoting and doing your social media, it's all in one place. And I think it's pretty affordable. You'll have to take a look for yourself. Just go to growyourshow.com and check us out. And by the way, I'll see you on the next episode.